The thought the Lord has given me here is the resurrection, the day of victory. You know, sometimes, and especially children, maybe older ones too, when they think of Easter, what do they think of? What? Candy. What else?
Bunny rabbit.
Bunny rabbit. What else?
Chocolate candy
eggs. Yes. Easter egg hunt. But when we realize the real meaning of Easter and the real purpose, it has to do with victory. It has to do with Christ rising from the grave. That was victory for us. It was victory for him, and it was victory for us. God did not let him stay in that grave. And so we want to think about what happened and what the scriptures say and the prophecies that were in the scriptures about Jesus' resurrection, about his death. All of this, he fulfilled scripture. He fulfilled the prophecy. When he died on the cross, he fulfilled every bit of the scripture and the prophecies that had been said about him and what was going to happen. If you remember when they came to get him that night, Peter was really, he didn't know what to do. He wanted to defend his Lord. And so he took his sword out and he cut off the high priest servant's ear. But Jesus told him, he put it back, he healed his ear back, but he told Peter, put up your sword. It's, in other words, how else is the scripture going to be fulfilled? It's a must. I must do this. I must need go through all of this to fulfill the scriptures. And of course, he didn't know, Peter didn't know, but it fulfilled our salvation. All of this. And so let's go to Psalms 16 and 10. Let's look at what's said in the prophecy about him on this day. 3 days after he was crucified, what did the scripture say?
Psalms 16 and 10.
16 and 10.
16 and 10. But thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption.
Other words, the grave didn't hold him. God did not intend for it to. He didn't allow his son to stay in that grave to a point of corruption. Let's go to Acts 2, and we're going to read 22 to 36. And verse 22 to 36.
Acts 2 and 22. Is that right?
Yeah.
Ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holding on to it. But David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make full of joy with thy confidence. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God hath sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he is seeing this before spoke of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, where we are all witnesses.
Therefore, being on the right hand of God, exalted in heaven, received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this, which you now see and hear. For David is not ascended into heaven, but he said himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on the right hand, on my right hand. Other words, David, when he said, thou shalt not leave my soul in hell, neither shalt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption, he was referring to Christ. Wasn't referring to himself. He died, in other words, and is buried and in the grave. But he was talking of Jesus. It was a prophecy of Jesus being resurrected from the dead. He was not going to be left in that grave. That grave could not hold him. It was not even possible. He was the Son of God. God resurrected him. And we know that this is the completion of our salvation. Had he been left in that grave, something would have been incomplete. The scriptures wouldn't have been fully fulfilled. But he rose. So we can rejoice today. Yes, last week, as we talked about and thought of all the things that he went through, our hearts were saddened, yet we know that it was for our benefit, but it still makes us sad to think of how hard, all the hard things he went through for our salvation. But now we can smile, we can rejoice, because he didn't stay in that tomb. He rose again. And today we can rise to walk in the newness of life. It's complete. Our salvation is complete. We die with him and we're resurrected with him. Oh, it's a blessed thing. But so when we think of what the disciples went through, we grieve for them. We understand that when they watched him, their Lord and Master, the one they looked up, the one to, the one they saw do the miracles, the one that they saw raise the dead, and all these things, and now he's hanging on that cross. It was great grief that they felt. It was a dark day for them. And then they saw him put in the tomb. And a big stone rolled in front of them. You can imagine what they felt. But thank God they got to see Victory Day. Let's go to Matthew 27 and read verses 50 to 56. We can understand the pain they went through. No doubt the disappointment they felt. Here we looked up to our Lord and we just knew he was going to be the one to deliver us. They didn't understand. that he was delivering them. They were going to have a spiritual deliverance. They were probably looking to him to work it out that they didn't have to be under the Roman rule and all of that. But they didn't know. This was an eternal, this was a victory that was going to last throughout ages, not just to one group of people. All people were going to have to be able to be resurrected from the old life of sin and I can't help it stuff to a new life with Christ.
Okay, Matthew 27 and 50.
Mm-hmm.
27 and 50. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, This was the Son of God. And many women were there, beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him, among which was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James, and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's children.
So you see, they saw all these things. And it was a dark time for them. And let's go now to 57 and read on, continue on. So they saw, we want to look at what they saw when he was put in the tomb.
When the evening was come, there came a rich man, Arimathea, named Joseph, man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded that the body be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body and wrapped it in clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock, and he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulcher and departed. And there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulcher. How far do you want to go?
66.
Now the next day that followed the day of the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember that deceiver said while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again. Command therefore that the sepulcher be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say unto the people he is risen from the dead. So the last error shall be worse than the first. Pilate said unto them, You have a watch. Go your way. Make as sure as you can. So they went and made the sepulcher sure, sealing the stone, and setting the watch.
Okay, so think of that. That just looked like hopelessness, doesn't it? Looked like no chance of him anything, like the end. But it wasn't. Now let's go to Mark 16 and read verses 1 through 4.
And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulcher at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, Who shall roll away the stone from the door of the sepulcher? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, but it was great.
Okay. But they, before they got there, they had seen that big old stone put there. And here they were just wondering, you know, how is this going to happen? So we thank the Lord that even though they went through this grief, as we read different occasions of how the disciples, they were weeping, they were just down. But God had victory. And we can look at this as a day of victory. Matthew 28, read 1 through 4.
Matthew 28, 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn, toward the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene, and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And from fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men.
We want to see, you see, this is how the stone got rolled away. The angel came and rolled the stone away. And when they saw the angel, it gave them so much fear that they fell as dead men. But thank the Lord for a resurrection. John 20, starting at verse 1.
John 20:21. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciples whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him.
Can you imagine, just a minute, can you imagine what she felt like? They first was thinking, how are we going to roll the stone away? And then when she gets there, it's rolled away, but Jesus isn't there. Mary Magdalene was so devoted to the Lord. It was painful for her. But soon, the Lord is going to reveal himself to her. Let's read on. Keep reading to 18.
Peter therefore went forth and that other disciple and came to the sepulchre. So they both ran together. And the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre. And he stooped down and looked at it and saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter followed him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple, that which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own homes. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She said unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She supposing him to be the gardener, said unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou have laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said unto her, Mary. She turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. And Jesus said unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God.
Look at this. I want you to picture this just a little bit. She's weeping, and she's really hurt and full of pain. And she's thinking they took him away. And then she said, they asked her why she was weeping. She said, Because they took away my Lord, and I don't know where they laid him, took him. And then when she turned and she saw Jesus, and she didn't know it was Jesus, so she thought he was the gardener, you know, the caretaker. And she said, he asked, why are you weeping? And she said, because, same words, they've taken away my Lord, and I know. And she not only said that, but, sir, if you've taken him away, tell me where he is. I'll take him. Can you imagine the emotion that she was feeling? So much so, this woman, she didn't think about, I'm a woman and I'm weak. This woman, if you, wherever you've taken him, tell me, and I'll get him. Like, you might not care about him, but let me have him. I'll take care. Oh, you know, it's something. When I read this many times, my heart is so touched because I realize that here is an example of some Mary and how dear Christ was to her. When we read the scripture, I think they say she is the one that out of seven devils were cast. That's why she loved him so. He had done so much for her. And so she was grieved. But we don't have to feel grief anymore. And she didn't after a while. Because after she found out that the Lord was there, where did she go? She went and told the others and let them know that she had seen the Lord. So I want us to step back just 1 minute. Think about Jesus. He no doubt looked toward this day of resurrection. Before he went through the cross, the scripture in Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 lets us know that for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. This is joy now. I've gone through the cross, and now I'm resurrected. But he knew that eventually, after he suffered all that pain and heartache and spitting and nails in his hands and feet and pierced side, he knew that on the other side was victory. Victory! Victory! He was not going to be in that grave state. He had to go through it, but he was going to rise. And he was going to be resurrected. So today, the time we talk about Easter is not about eggs and rabbits and all of that. I mean, I'm not saying it's you can't do it, but it's about God, Jesus, being resurrected. Today, we can be happy. We can be free. We don't have to be bound under sin and debauchery and all the devil's tricks anymore. You know, he plays tricks on people when they're not saved. He does. He'll tell them, do this. They do it, and they get in trouble. He'll tell them, do that. They do it, and they get in trouble.
They call them temptation.
All kinds of stuff. But today we can say, praise God, hallelujah.
Yeah.
Because we're resurrected from that life. We don't have to be under the bondage of sin anymore. Thank God the grave couldn't hold him. He couldn't hold him. But God had victory, complete victory. If he had stayed in the grave, he had the victory of going through the cross, but it wouldn't have been complete. He had to come forth for it to be complete, and our salvation is complete. 1 Corinthians 15, read 1 through 9. You know, I think about how much God cares for us. It's his love. It's his care. That he was willing to give his son. And his son was willing to die on that cross and give his life and resurrect from the dead for us. For us. For little old piece of dirt, us. He said, we're just like dust. And one scripture said, all nations are like, all together are like a drop in the bucket. But he did it for you and for me. 1 Corinthians 15.
And 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scripture, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. And after that, he was seen of about 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, for I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted God, persecuted the church of God.
Do you see? This is Paul talking. He's telling how that God allowed Jesus, how Jesus died on the cross, and then he was resurrected, and then he was seen. There were many that got chance to see him after his resurrection. And he said, even me, you know, he saw Jesus on the way, he met with Jesus on the way to Damascus when he was trying to get more people to be put in prison that trusted in the Lord, that believed on this Jesus. So, and he said he wasn't even worthy to be an apostle. He didn't feel worthy. But God had revealed himself to him. He left himself with, he did not leave himself without a witness, without others seeing him. So now let's go to John 14, read 15. And to 18.
John what?
St. John 14, read verse 15 to 18. I think I'm going to skip that right now. Go to Luke 24, read 36 to 42.
Luke 24 and 36?
Mm-hmm.
And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen the spirit. And he said to them, why are ye troubled, and why do doubts arise in your heart? Behold my hands and my feet, that I myself handle, handle me and see. For the spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me as. How far you want to go?
42.
And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of boiled fish and an uncle.
So you see, he revealed himself to his disciples. He showed his hands and his feet. And in one scripture, I don't know if it's in John, Thomas wasn't there with the rest of them. And so when they told him that they had seen the Lord, he said, well, unless I see, put my hands where his nails were and in his side, I won't believe. But then he revealed himself to Thomas, and he showed him. He said, put your hands touch the nail parts. and then put your hand in my side. And then when Thomas did that, he said, my Lord and my Master and my God. So he believed. And he told Thomas, it's good that you believe. It's good that for those that don't see and believe. Today, we believe. We didn't put our hands in the nails or in his feet, but we believe. And God blesses us for believing in him. And it's our salvation. We must believe if we want to receive his salvation. We must believe if we want to go to his heaven. John 20 and read verse 19.
John 20 and 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. How far you want to go?
29. Keep reading.
And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, and my Father has sent me, even so said I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, recover ye the Holy Spirit. Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. And the other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, again, his disciples were with them, and Thomas was with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and said unto the midst, and said, peace be unto you. And said unto Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, and but believeth. And Thomas asked and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, yet have believed.
Thank the Lord. And so we want to see that he was faithful to reveal himself to his disciples. And he was also faithful to give them comfort. He told them, peace be unto you. He didn't want them to continue to weep over him. He wanted them to take courage and to have confidence and faith in him. Also to stand on the promises. So before his ascension, he took the disciples, he took them to Bethany, and he blessed them. And then he was risen in their very presence. He encouraged them to stay in Jerusalem until they received the Holy Ghost. And we today can be encouraged by the promise that we gave. Let's go to Luke 24 and 44.
Luke 24 and 44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you, which I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high.
You went to 49.
That was 49, yes.
Okay. And now we see that he went, this go to Luke, I mean, go to 30 and 31. Read those two scriptures.
30 and 31 of what?
Luke, same chapter.
Go back to 30.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, go back to 30. I'm sorry.
Go back to 30. Okay. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight.
Yes. So all of this, after he revealed himself to his disciples, he took them to Bethany. We can go to, and there he, I think, there he ascended. I'm sorry. So Acts 1, and we're going to read verse 9 to 12.
Acts 1 and 9. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went upward, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you unto heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Then return they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day journey.
You see, he was taken up from them, gazing into heaven. They were looking, and while they were looking up, the angel came and gave them more comfort and told them, why stand you gazing? This same Jesus, like he went up, he's coming back. So today we have that promise that all of us can stand on. He's coming back. And he's going to come and get all of us if we live true and faithful to him. Pray for me.